just wonderful to be in God's house tonight. Verse number 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Also want to read Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 here tonight. Just a reality is there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the reality of these scriptures, you can be seated again tonight. The reality of these scriptures here that I want to bring forth to start with, it's not the fullness of my message, but the reality is judgment is coming. We're going to be judged before our God, judged before our Savior. I mean, whether we're saved or whether we're lost, judgment is coming. We've got to stand before God and give an account of what we've done with our freedom. What we've done with our liberty. What we've done with our salvation. What we've done with our walk with God. We're still going to give an account, even though we're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. We're still going to give an account unto the Lord for what we have done with what He has given us. That's a sobering thought. I want it to be a sobering thought. Tonight's title is taken from verse 17, because as He is, so are we in this world. Simply going to preach on just like Him. Just like Him. Another understanding here. I want to expound here on these scriptures just a little bit before I move on. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So the boldness we can have in the day of judgment is what He stated next, because as He is, so are we in this world. The boldness we'll have in the day of judgment, simply put, is that we lived this life like Jesus would live this life. So we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, we don't have to be filled with anxiety, because we're living for Jesus right now. We're living just like Him right now. And so that love, why do we do that? Because we love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. Because He died for my sin. He's the one that brought salvation. He loved me enough to die for me. Do I love Him enough to die for Him? Am I ready to get rid of selfishness in my life? That's what it means to die for Jesus. It's quit being selfish. Quit being self-centered. Woo! Now, answer me this question. Show me somewhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ was selfish and Jesus Christ was self-centered. Oh my. Are you getting a little afraid? Well, the reason we get afraid sometimes and we're fearful about the coming of the Lord is because love's not been made perfect in us. Because when love's made perfect as He is, so are we in this world. If I love Jesus Christ, I'm just going to be following Him. I want to be like Him. Hallelujah. And if I'm not like Him, I want to immediately get it rectified. I don't want to continue on with pride, selfishness, ungodliness. They all go hand in hand. The minute pride sneaks in, and there's a multitude that follows right behind it. You know, that's that group of people that is always looking for the freebie. When one hand comes out, you see five. When pride comes in the door, there's five more coming with him. And actually, if we could move to Scripture, there might be seven. The minute you open the door to pride, you've opened the door to evil. You've opened the door to the enemy. Your mind begins to operate on self-preservation. You've got to realize love is not being perfected. Because when love is perfected as He is, so are we. How do I forgive in the moment that it happens? As He is, so are we. Just like Him. Just like Him. There He hung on the cross. The words that came out of His mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've heard this one thrown in there a lot of times. I'm not going to forgive them because they know what they did. Trying to justify not being like Him. We call this the warfare. We call this the battle. Not really. This is really, really how it's supposed to be. We really shouldn't have to battle the flesh all the time. There's greater battles to fight, hallelujah, than just fighting the flesh. There's principalities and powers. There's evil and wickedness in high places this very hour in the United States of America. And we should be able to fight that battle instead of just battling us. Hello. Praise God. Just like Him. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as you and I are. Yet He was without sin. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted by Satan himself. And He overcame by the Word of God. Hallelujah. He just took Scripture instead of everything the enemy was throwing at Him. This is not in my notes here. We're still expounding on 1 John 4:17. We're going to get to the message here in a minute. This is just truth from God's Word. Times with Pastor, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Tempted in the wilderness. How did He defeat Satan? Did He defeat Satan just because He felt good? I don't really think Jesus felt good at that moment of time, really. 40 days, 40 nights without any food. How would you feel? You don't feel real good if you go 5 hours, 6 hours without food. I don't. there's just that internal clock says I'm hungry. There was an internal clock put in me from a youth that at 7 o'clock you ate breakfast, at noon you ate lunch, and at 7 o'clock at night you ate dinner. That's just how it was for 18 years of my life until I got married. And then we ate whenever she wanted to eat. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I could say a lot more scriptures here about that, but I'm not going to here tonight. I've got a message I do want to preach. Amen. What I'm trying to get at, how many remember what the Bible said, that the shield of faith, whereby we may quench every fiery dart of the enemy? Do you realize what the shield of faith is? The shield of faith is God's Word. I realize it talks about the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, but the shield of faith is when I take God's Word and I believe it and I use it against the lies of the enemy. So that shield of faith, that sword of the Spirit, all of it's intertwined in Jesus Christ and all of it's intertwined in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So to quench the lie of the devil and the temptation of the devil, I've got to do just what Jesus did. I've got to claim the Word, quote the Word, believe the Word, live the Word. Just like Him. Anybody getting the picture yet? Jesus has not asked you and I to do anything He has not already done. He's not asking us to overcome a temptation He has not already overcome. He's not asking us to live a life that He has not already lived and portrayed and left an example of. All He asks for you and I, from you and I, is simply follow Me.
followed.
Woo. So, here we are. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The trumpet's about to sound. How do you feel about that? Do you have boldness? Boldness is joy. Boldness is confidence. Boldness is assurance. Boldness is, I'm ready. And I have this boldness because as He is, so am I in this world. I have this confidence because I'm following Him. I'm reaching. I'm pressing towards the prize, the high calling of our God. Aren't you thankful for Scripture tonight? Hallelujah. Praise. I'm sorry, Brother Lucas, but most of these that I'm sharing with you right now are not in the notes. We're going to move to the notes now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like Him is what we're after here tonight. And I realize it's a whole lot easier to preach this message than it is to live this message. But yet at the same time, God has given me provision and has given you provision to live it. Tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. You see, if you are most of the time spending your time contending with your flesh, you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost and learn how to walk in the Holy Ghost. Because if you're walking in your flesh more than you're walking in the Spirit of God, then you need a change. And that change is going to come when you decide there's going to be a change. Praise our God. I'm going to begin to live my life as He is, so will I be. Notice the terminology, as He is. Didn't say as He was. It says as He is. Why? Because He's alive. He's a well, and He's watching my life. He's watching yours. And He's doing His utmost best in His grace, His mercy, hallelujah, and His power to make it where I'll have boldness in the day of judgment. That I can live right now the way He's living right now. See, He's for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. I mean, who you want to listen to? You want to listen to God? You want to listen to the devil? I don't think there's anybody in here that wants to listen to the devil. Or do you want to listen to yourself?
Oh, there's a wee twist.
Now, there might be a multitude that like listening to themselves. In the house of God, a multitude that likes to do it their own way, make excuse for themselves when they do wrong. Hello. Praise God. And don't you think that you don't do that. I've not met one man yet that doesn't. I've not met one woman yet that doesn't. Because the minute something happens, we know we did wrong, but we don't want to fess up right away. We want to give an excuse of why it was okay for me to act unchristlike. Why it was okay for me not to be kind, not to be filled with love, not to be merciful, not to be gracious, not to forgive. You don't know. Of course I don't know. Then again, I might know. Because most temptation is common to all men. Woo. Praise our God. Just like Him. We'll be just like Him. I want to be just like Him. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This one's in there, Brother Lucas. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise our God. We want to be like Jesus Christ in light. You're the light of the earth. Jesus wants us to walk in the light as He's in the light. As He is, so are we in this world. He wants us to be just like Him in light. In the way we walk, in the way we live, in the way we think, in the attitudes we have, in the desires that we allow to remain in our minds. Because if we say we fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie. We don't do the truth. And here's the stipulation or the understanding. If we walk in the light, God's Word, God's ways, God's Spirit, as He is in the light, because Jesus Christ is still the light in a world filled with darkness, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I want you to understand, if we walk in the light, as He's the light, that's when the cleansing from sin is there. But you got to understand, if we walk in darkness but no light, there is no forgiveness. That's when we've got to confess our sins. And then because He's just and faithful, He will forgive our sins. To walk in the light is when God reveals to me that's wrong, that's sin. I turn from it and do right. Then the blood cleanses. I'm in a right relationship with Christ and the blood cleanses. But if I get prideful and self-willed and I go ahead and walk in darkness, there is no cleansing from that sin until I'm ready to come face to face with the sin that's in my life. And that means I'm not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm not rapture ready, and I'm not going to have boldness in the judgment of God, because I am willfully disobeying God's Word, which is the definition of sin in God's Bible. To know to do good and do it not is sin. People don't want to call sin, sin anymore. I'm just having difficulties. I'm just having a bad day. I'm just battling my flesh for the last 3-6 months. No, it's sin! Call it what it is, and you'll get the victory. Blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from that sin, and it will not have power over you any longer. You will be delivered from that bondage of sin. Whoa! We got people walking in bondage and claiming liberty. It's been that way for 2,000 years. Woo! But God's Holy Ghost, God's Word, God's ministers are doing their best to help men and women understand you can't remain in sin and be right with God. You can feel good about it. That don't make any difference. Because God's Word calls it sin. That means it's going to separate me from God. It means I'm not ready. I'm not going to have boldness. And when judgment does fall, I'm not going to like what's going to happen. I've got to start living my life as He is. So am I in this world. I've got to start living my life just like Him. I realize not everybody has the same knowledge I have. Not everybody's at the same growth level as I may be or you may be. But you gotta be growing. Because light's coming your way. And light is what brings growth. And growth is what makes me turn from darkness. The transforming power of God's Word in my life. I want to be just like Him. In light. In 1 John chapter 3, and you'll most notice a lot of these come out of 1 John. Hallelujah. And you know, here's John trying to proclaim to the church there's a right way to live, and you ain't living that way. Woo! I mean, those epistles are just coming across just like that. He's trying to get people to wake up. You say you love God, but you're living like the devil. That don't work. That's not true. In 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." He's not going to change. He's holy. He's pure. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Oh, glory to our God. I want to be just like him in purity. "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as..." See, we have the guideline. We have the plumb. We have the level. We have the compass, if you will, because my purity is not left to my own definition. My purity is as he is pure. Praise God. That just pretty well levels the field, because it's not a matter of you're as pure as I am. You got to be pure as he is pure, which means you got to walk in the light that he brings your way. You got to walk in the word that he reveals unto us. Praise God. So I want to be just like him in purifying myself, because there is no sin in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost, there is no sin in the Holy Ghost. So then if I'm following Jesus and led by the Spirit of God, where does sin come from? Because it's not coming from Jesus, and it's not coming from the Holy Ghost, and it ain't coming from the devil either. Where's it coming from? It's coming from you. It's coming from me. That's where it's coming from. And thus, then, I am going to have to deal severely with me and take my carcass to that old-fashioned altar of prayer and get it prayed through to where I am in surrender to Jesus Christ for more than 30 minutes. Woo! Oh, you may think that's strange. You may think that's funny, but I'm sorry. I've been in ministry now for quite a few years, and you would be surprised how many people can get sanctified for about 30 minutes. About how long that altar service lasts and the Spirit of God's moving, they're weeping, crying, and speaking in tongues, and within 15 minutes after they leave the church, they're sinning. And they're just in delusion, and they are fooling themselves and no one else, because judgment's coming. And judgment will fall when you think not. In the hour you think not, that's when I'll come with judgment. Woo. So I want to be just like him in light, and I want to be just like him in purity. 1 John 3:7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Talking about Jesus Christ. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." Wow. Do you notice all through 1 John here that he keeps referring to as he is? He's righteous. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Righteousness is right. Righteousness is cool. Righteousness is the fad you need to fall into. Why in the world are we looking to the world? to set what kind of fad or how we're going to live when you and I as the children of God should be setting the standard of the fad or how we're going to live. Wow. We got to get our minds wrapped around the reality. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we are not setting our lifestyle according to the lifestyle of the world. We are trying to set a lifestyle that the world might know what righteousness is so they can repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Whoa, praise our God. So how in the world can we be light if we're not living in righteousness? He that committeth sin is of the devil. Aren't you glad I'm not the one that came up with that? Woo. Can you see John the Apostle writing this? And I'm sure there's others around him while he's doing this. He didn't write this on the Isle of Patmos. That was the book of Revelation. He's writing to the church because he sees what's going on within the church. And he realizes they don't understand. They're headed for judgment. And so he is trying to remind them of what they already know. Isn't it amazing how God's always trying to remind us of what we already know? Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, you know, Sister Lindsay just made a reference here tonight to a message that I preached, and it came to pass. Well, she understands that trials come to pass because that message was preached a long time ago. But yet it's still there, but then there's certain things that remind us. That's right. Wow. See, we've always got to be reminded. I love it. I mean, I just love it. Testimonies and exhortations and sharing of scriptures, it just always reminds us, hallelujah, of things we already know. And man, I needed that shot in the arm. I needed that encouragement. I needed that help, hallelujah, because that's what the Word of God does, even though sometimes it hurts. I mean, even though sometimes it is that sharp and two-edged sword, even though sometimes it's that hammer that breaks, it feels good because we know Jesus is doing it. Woo, praise God. Oh, that hurt, but praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Hallelujah. Okay. So, are you of God or are you of the devil? Now, a lot of times people say, well, man, I think they've got a devil. No, that's just the capabilities of the flesh. You know. Woo. A lot of times the devil gets credit for things that he hasn't done. He don't mind. It's praise to him. You realize when you act carnal and fleshly, you're praising the devil? You got to understand that. Man, that's not good, is it? Because when you're doing righteousness and holiness and purity, and you're worshiping God. But when you're doing evil and you're doing sinful things, and you are you getting the picture? You're worshiping the devil. You're giving him what he's longed for throughout all of the ages. That's all. That's the whole reason why he tempts man. That's the whole reason why he perverts the minds of men and women. Because when he can get men and women doing that which is diabolical to God's righteousness, it's worshiping the devil. Man, somebody needs to preach this somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why there's so much garbage in the church. Because there's more worship going to the devil than there is to God, even in the church. And I'm not talking about our church, per se. I'm talking about the church world. Wow. You know, I mean, from the time I've gotten saved, I have had more trouble out of church people than I ever have out of sinners. Of getting mad when something like this is preached and leaving the church. And all I'm sharing with you is 1 John. I'm not sharing with you anything that's I had to come up with. I'm just sharing with you what John was telling the church. But most folks don't like it. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The difference between living in sin and falling to sin, because this is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are tempted and tested and tried. We all fall under the attack of the adversary on our lives, and we all make mistakes. But the difference is when we fall, we get up, we go to God, and we walk on in righteousness. But those that are not serious about deliverance from sin, they're going to just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, keep doing it. They may come, ask God to forgive them, but they're already meditating in their mind when they get out of church, going right back to it. That's a sinner. That's not a child of God. That's a sinner that wishes they were a child of God, would like to be a child of God, but they just haven't made the commitment it takes to become a child of God. Because to become a child of God, I must forsake my sin. You know what forsake means? I don't do it anymore. Because I realize it's sin and I don't want sin. I want to be like Him in righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You notice in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Doesn't mean you don't have the capability nor the possibility. It just means when you're walking with God and you're following Jesus Christ and you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're not going to walk in sin. You may fall, but you're not going to walk there. You're not going to live there. No. Why? Because you've got a compass. Praise God. Because the moment I fall, the Holy Ghost says, you need to turn from that. You need to go to God. And we do. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Just like Jesus. Romans 8:34, moving out of 1 John just momentarily. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is praying. He's our high priest. He's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise our God. You got to understand, Jesus is praying for your victory. Jesus is praying for your overcoming. Jesus is on your side for righteousness. He is there to help you and I win. Praise God. And he's praying. He's interceding. Why is he doing that? Because if he didn't intercede for you and I, we would be consumed by the judgment of God so many times. Because of our pride, because of our rebellion, because of our self-will. I don't know whether you've read it in the Bible or not, but there's a statement in the Bible that Paul makes because of the angels. Angels can't read your mind. Angels aren't all-knowing. Angels operate off what they are told to do and what they see. Anybody's ever read the story of Balaam and his donkey? Did Balaam see the angel? Was the angel wanting to do good to Balaam? Why would the angel be against Balaam? Wasn't Balaam a prophet of God? Why would the angel have a sword ready to slay Balaam? And the donkey's the only one that could see.
Oh, one of them times I'd rather be a donkey than a prophet.
The reason that angel was standing there with that sword ready to slay Balaam, because he knew Balaam was in rebellion against what God said, because he heard it all. And he's just carrying out orders about those that rebel. Now you get a little picture of why Jesus is interceding for you and I, so that the angels just don't kill us. Because we turn away from God, rebel against God, and reject God when He comes to speak to our hearts. That's not going to make an angel happy. Because all they see is rebellion. And to them, rebellion needs stomped out. So Christ is praying for mercy. Christ is praying for grace. Christ is wanting to dig us up one more time and see if we'll become fruitful. The angel would just rather stomp out rebellion and let someone else take its place. They don't like rebellion. They've seen it all. When Satan rebelled in heaven and a third of the angels left with him, they know what rebellion brings and they don't like it. So he's interceding for you and I. The judgment doesn't fall because of our wrong decisions, our wrong desires, our wrong behavior, our wrong actions before we can get back to the cross and ask for mercy. Woo! Glory to our God. Intercession. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not only is Jesus Christ interceding, the Spirit of God is interceding. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer the question out loud. But how many times has the Spirit of God dealt in your heart and you've rejected Him? Yeah, it's real, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what He begins to do? He begins to intercede. He begins to keep working. He keeps wanting the Father to allow Him to move greater. The Spirit of God don't have to move on any of us again. You'll find in Scripture it's always as He will. As He will. But yet the same thing, the Spirit of God is love. And because He loves us so much, just like the Father loves us so much, just like Christ loves us so much, He don't want to give up on us. He just keeps drawing. He just keeps interceding. He just keeps coming again. Thank you. Hallelujah. Because we'd all be lost and consumed by the fire of God if it were not for Christ interceding, the Holy Ghost interceding, and the moving of God in our lives. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. But somewhere we got to step across the line. Somewhere in our lives, we've got to step across the line and commit ourselves wholly unto God. Somewhere in our lives. It happened for me at the age of 23. I stepped across that line, and by God's grace and God's mercy, I've never stepped back on the other side of it. Praise our God. Doesn't mean I haven't fallen. Doesn't mean I haven't sinned. Just means I haven't went back to live where I used to live. Because the moment I started across that line, the Spirit of God threw up that standard, reached into my heart, reminded me, and I immediately stepped right back across that line. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going on for You. I'm living for You. Hallelujah. Praise our God. I want to be just like Him in intercession. I can pray for people too. I can pray for lost souls too. I can pray for wayward souls also. I can pray for struggling saints of God also. I want to be an intercessor just like Him. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. That's what He's calling us to. That's the way we should be living, just like Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wow. Hallelujah. Dwell. That's not talking about just a little bit in and a whole lot of out. That's talking about getting in and staying. Praise our God. Getting across that line and staying there. Oh, I love that song. He's drawn that line in the sand. Woo, hallelujah. That has always been something for me, because the first time I heard a message about the line in the sand, the first time I heard about getting on God's side, you can rest assured I come right out of my pew, and wherever they drew that line on in the sanctuary, I got on the right side of it. Hallelujah. Because that was the desire of my heart, the desire of my soul, is to be on God's side. I done lived 23 years on the devil's side. I done lived 23 years in the selfish side. I wanted to get on God's side, and I wanted to stay there. Hallelujah. Praise our God. So God is love. That means I've got to be loved too. Romans 5 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is that power going to be like? You know, I mean, we may think of fireworks, we may think of fire, we may think of bombs exploding. Power. It's going to be love. The very thing you can't acquire by yourself. The fruit of the Spirit, love. The power of the Holy Ghost, love. Woo. You're going to be ready to lay your life down for Him. That's power. Praise God. That's power. Glory to our God. We got so many around the church world chasing after power, they don't even know what they're chasing after. Most of them are chasing after mysticism and miracles and making them look great and wonderful in the eyes of everyone, but that's not power. The power that God wants to bring into your life and my life is love. To where we can forgive somebody immediately. To where we can reach into the flame and pull out those that are about to perish. Oh, where we can deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. Love. Love. I want to be just like Him in love. And so He pours His love out upon us through the Holy Ghost of God. You wonder why we try to encourage you to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Because that is your only source of that power, love. Because it's the Holy Ghost that's going to pour God's love in us. That's why we need to weep. We need to cry. We need to be around that altar when the Spirit of God begins to move in this sanctuary. We need to be willing to go with the Spirit, follow after the Spirit, worship through the Spirit, because He's taking us into the power of love. And love is always the sign of surrender. When you can deny yourself for somebody else, you begin to move into love. When you esteem others greater than yourself, you are moving into love. Hallelujah. When you prefer brethren before yourself, you've moved into love. Woo, hallelujah. If you're always looking to have the prestige, always looking to have the high seat, always wanting to be noticed, always wanting the recognition, list goes on and on and on. You haven't moved into love yet. Be because Jesus is love, and he's the one that girded himself and went and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, you see what I have done? This is what greatness is all about. This is what greatness is all about. Love. Love. And he chooses to pour that love out in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse number 9, John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You notice now where John got his cliche, if you will. As he is, so are we in this world. Because it's what Jesus taught them while he was on the face of this earth. Right here, John, in John's gospel, he's sharing what Jesus taught about being just like him. Abiding in the vine so that I can be just like him. Hallelujah. Because I can do nothing without him. Praise our God. I don't know. This is just something. I'm going to close. Piano player can come back tonight if they would. Got a little story I want to close with. You see in John 15 where John the Apostle got the reality about love. John has been called the Apostle of Love. But John's just sharing what Jesus shared with everybody. Love. Love produces righteousness. Love produces holiness. Love produces me treating people like I want to be treated. That's why love is the most important thing. Because love is what transforms my actions, my deeds, my thoughts, my desires. Is that love of God, when I get in the presence of God and I realize how much he loves me because he died for me. You see, when somebody sees you, what do they see? I realize that's a tall order, a tall question, because we realize sometimes we ain't acting right. We hope nobody saw it. But a lot of times that's not the case. There's been times I haven't acted right in front of my congregation. There's times I haven't done it right in front of my congregation. Not trying to make excuses. I do want us to understand we are but flesh. And we all are human. And we all have some fallacies. But the thing is, when we see it, we've got to rectify it. We've got to bring it under the blood. We've got to get back in that love of God. We've got to get back to where we won't act like that again. Here's a story. It says, this is the title of the story. Say, mister, be ye Jesus? The train was pulling into the depot. On the platform stood a very small, crippled boy. His basket was filled with fruits and nuts to sell to the passengers. The train had not yet come to a full stop when a businessman had swung himself from the train and in his haste collided with the boy on the platform, and the basket was overturned and its contents all scattered. The man saw what had happened, but as the crippled fruit boy was the only one concerned, and as the man was in a hurry, he walked away toward the city without a word. Just then the train stopped, another man traveling came off the train. He too had important business in the city. But here was a boy in trouble. The traveling man comprehended the situation in a glance. The scattered fruit, the crippled boy, the distress on his face, the tears in his eyes. The man said nothing. He set down his bag, quietly but rapidly assisted the boy to gather and replace all the fruit into the basket, all the packages, all the nuts. He did this all in the midst of the turmoil and the other passengers walking by and not paying any attention. The task was completed. The traveler was about to leave when he reached into his pocket. Taking out a silver dollar, he placed it on top of the basket. As he did so, the boy looked up, tears in his eyes, looked into the man's face, and he said, "Say, mister, be ye Jesus?" "No," said the man, "I'm not Jesus, but I am one of his followers. As I go about, I try to do the things which I think he would do if he were here." Just like him. Just like him. Oh, I long to be just like him. But I've got to take it past my emotions. I've got to take it past my desires. And I've got to bring it to him so he can write it in my heart that I might not sin against God. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, my heart is filled with joy as I read your word, understand your word, and see the great provisions you have for your believers. Lord, the desire that you have for us. God, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God would fresh and anew create that burning desire in our hearts to be just like you. Just like you. Hallelujah. Let your Spirit pour out that love and remind us of that liberty and that freedom that you have died for, you rose again for, and you have ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father, that it might be brought into action in the lives of your believers. Work it in us tonight, God. Work it in us. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah to the King. Glory to the Father, glory to the Son, and glory to the Holy Ghost. Let us come around the altar of prayer here tonight, and let's close with a time in the presence of our God and just letting him know we love him. Lord, I love you, and I want to be more like you.